Join me in prayer. Prayer today is based on 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17:4-2. The words of Scripture are God-breathed words, inspired by you and given life through the power of your Holy Spirit. By your Spirit, breathe your word into us so that we become proficient in the language of faith and equipped to proclaim the message we received for the sake of Jesus Christ, the living word. Amen. Our scripture today is Matthew 7, verses 24 to 27, NIV. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house. Yet it did not fall because its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
No, I couldn't reach the. Maybe you can help me figure this out.
That was a little clip from Phyllis's house that the day of the storm.
Most of you know that their house, she and her husband's house, got flooded, as well as Linda's and a couple others. But their house, Phyllis's house is set to the, behind is a canal and goes out into the ocean. But that day, that swollen canal behind her and the angry flow of water in the front of her house that you just saw, which took everything in its path, destroying so many things on that block. The cars in the garage, Tom's Corvette, 1987 Corvette, is gone. He's grieving that very deeply. Phyllis's car was damaged. That's left her, that household, with one vehicle. One vehicle. So, you know, we've been praying. A group of us is in a chat, and we've been praying and just checking on one another. And I was, when these things happen, and like Linda called, what can we do? They got it covered. And I felt so helpless during that time because they didn't need us to do anything. But when that happened, I eventually found where I can help other than praying. I could become Phyllis's Uber driver. And that I did. I was so joyous. Last Friday, I joyously went over to the Cape Coral Bridge and like, yes, I finally get to do something for my friend. We drove and I don't know what to expect. Nothing happened. And went on Del Prado Boulevard and all was good, no hiccups. And then I turned the first bend. And I felt like somebody stuck a pin in my joy balloon, and I'd seen the aftermath of the hurricane that's become real before me right there. There were piles and piles of people's stuff lining the streets. their heirlooms, their narratives of their life story in boxes soaked and destroyed. The furniture, the very gut of their house, was now on the sidewalk. This was for the first time when the impact of this hurricane became very real for me. I started to grieve my friend, what they might have gone through and still going through, and I have not yet reached their house. I could just imagine what she was feeling, they have felt during these past days. And then I turn on her block, and the two lanes that on that block seems like one, as the piles and the sandwich my car alone, like a sandwich for my car, because the piles were so high and vast on her block again of their heirlooms and their stuff that now becomes trash. It got very real. The word said the rain came down and the stream rose and the winds blew and beat against the house. The situation looked hopeless.
We probably shouldn't have stayed.
That's the back of our house. As the wind came and the water rose,
she said, we probably shouldn't have stayed. Yet, it did not fall, the word says, because its foundation is on a rock. When I think about what those people went through, our friends and went through, one word has come to mind. The word is resiliency. They and thousands of others in Southwest Florida stood with resiliency. Resilience describes the ability to bounce back after being bent and stretched out of shape. Resiliency is the status that someone is stressed beyond the limit and everything about that person, and they were able to come back, spring back to the original position. It is the ability to recover from the storms of life. That's what resilience is. The Jackmans, Linda Cox, and so hundreds of Southwest Florida haven't fully come back yet to the original position, but probably they won't. But probably they might just come back even better and stronger than they were before, because it had the foundation on a rock. Resilient people adapt to adversities. They weather the storms and survive the weathers and storms. Most of the time, they may get hit by many situations, but they rise up again and they are going to be stronger. You look at the trees, they suffer through the wind, the storm, and the hurricane. Somehow they recover. When they were bent trees, they become straight again eventually. And that is what God is calling us to do, be resilient. That's what resiliency looks like. And God expects that kind of character from each and every one of us. When we fall down, we expect us to come back up eventually, because situations will happen, adversities will happen in our lives, but he has given us himself. You know, Jesus spoke about the house that was rained upon, hit by floods and beaten with heavy rainstorm. Still the house stood erect. The house is resilient through and to withstand the storms that come at it and raising its face. God is asking you and I that you are able to withstand the storms in your life, having blown in our lives. That the times of confusion might set in, yes, that we might come to a point of silence and we withdraw and get depressed. But probably if we think about this time, it's a time when Jesus wants us to be by ourselves. No, but God is telling us you need to be resilient. I don't know, some of you might remember Ken Cooper. Clint Cooper, the robber. He was a guy nobody wants in their neighborhood, in their neighbors. We probably don't want, but he was known as a loving father and a loving husband, a mother, citizen for the unprivileged children. But he had a dark side. He was also one of Florida's most wanted criminals. He began shoplifting when he was a child and started stealing cars. And later on, he went to bank robbing. But in the middle of this, his wife had cancer and she died at an early stage. Many robberies, she started to increase his time of robbing banks during that time. And when they were asking why would he do these things, he said, I don't need the money to rob. It was like a rush for him. It was like an addict, he says, that the drug eased the pain of the unexpected death of his father and his wife. Ken's double life ended very soon when he was shot robbing a bank and was sentenced to 99 years at The Rock, the Florida's most infamous prison. There he and his inmates, the worst of the criminals were there, but something happened in there. He heard the word from the chaplain and somewhere in there, the Holy Spirit moved him and he became a follower of Jesus Christ. And he and his inmates became a follower of Jesus Christ. They kept preaching the words and once they got saved in the prison. And one day the story goes that Ken and his friends adopted a kitten who his backbone was broken, his eyes were blinding, and they named him Mr. Magoo. Ken Cooper was taking care of this kitten, and eventually one day he laid his hands on the kitten's head and started praying to God to open his eyes, and his eyes opened. The kitten started to see. All of these inmates started to take care of this kitten in prison. And eventually got out of prison. And then he started his own ministry to help those who are coming out of prison. So we have the robber turned preacher. He has went to the farthest height of the spectrum and came out on the other side. That's what we call resiliency. God is taking someone has gone as far as they could go, and Christ has stepped in and changed their lives. He was bent down low, and then he came back. That's resiliency. When Jesus spoke of this passage that was read from Matthew 27, the question we need to ask is, Matthew 7, we need to ask is, what makes us strong? What makes us resilient? What makes us enduring? It's not just hearing the word of God, but it's doing the word of God. We want to be put this word into practice. Otherwise, Christianity doesn't mean anything. If we can't put what we know of God into a practice, especially in these times of your trials and you're going through these storms and these unexpected things in your life, whether it's a hurricane or something else, that's when we call upon what we know as faith, what we read about in the scripture. The psalm that we went 121 was telling us in for the call of worship was Psalm 121, actually, where we can get our help. We turn to the Lord for help each time. We know this God. We've been talking about that. Whose life, and we can ask the question, whose life is founded on the rock? The one who listens and does. Who can withstand the storm of life? The one who listens to the word of God and put them into practice. This is a great deal of pressure, my friends, about the word of God. And it's a great deal of attention on the word of God to put them into practice in what we have learned. To whom much is given, much is required. Luke tells us in chapter 12, verse 48. We are all given a lot of sermons. We do a lot of teaching. You listen here, you listen online, all over. But much is also required of us. up to this point in the Gospel of Matthew, what did the people hear? Does anybody know where this scripture is coming from? What is this called? Matthew 7. This passage is okay. This passage is from that long sermon that Jesus was preaching on the Mount. From Matthew 6, 5, 6, and 7 is about the Sermon on the Mount. And now the sermon's moved to a conclusion, and now it calls for an action. Jesus is saying, you have heard me up to now, and now you're going to do me and put everything you have heard into practice. But what have they heard so far on this mount? Jesus was talking about the Beatitudes. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who, and so forth. He talked about being the salt and the light, fulfilling the law, anger and murder, lust and adultery, divorce and remarriage, oaths, eye for an eye, love their enemy, give to the poor, the needy, how to pray, how to fast, false teachers and false prophets, the wise builder and the foolish builder. They heard so much from the Lord Jesus Christ, and now Jesus wants them to put them into practice. Resiliency is the ability of an object to spring back to its original shape. It is the ability to stand in the difficult circumstances of life. Resiliency is achieved by putting into practice the teaching of Jesus Christ. See, in this passage this morning, this illustration that Jesus used, the building, it comes from his own life because he and his parents were carpenters. He knows about building. Not only that, but the illustration is appropriate for the nature of discipleship from the building, from the land, because in that land where he grew up, when it rained during the summer, it's dry, but when it rains in the rainy season, there's a torrents of gushing water coming through. So he's speaking from his life experience. He's bringing the metaphors in this scripture from what he lived. And what he comes back to is appropriate an illustration for our Christian discipleship. For we are building the character and spiritual achievement of a godly life as we walk with Jesus. Such building calls for good and sure foundation. And that is exactly what Jesus is providing. Friends, hear this now. This foundation that he's talking about is himself. When we stand on the foundation that's on the rock, the foundation he's talking about is himself. When we stand in the foundation of Jesus Christ as the Lord, of our Lord, whatever comes, and we can be able to still stand. Stand. We will bend, yes. We'll go down as the wind comes and blows up and water rise above us, coming at us, but we can still stand in faith. Because grace, Mr. Grace, is still with us. God, mercy with us. Even if it was the day for our last day, who can say, yes, I'm still with Jesus. I know where I'm going. Which is the time to check what we believe. Check in whom we believe. Check in whom we stand or put our faith in. Amen? It's a time when we are going to deepen our foundation in Christ. And how do we do that? By having a deep relationship with Jesus. And I'm not talking about some external thing. You're going and walking around and singing, hallelujah, hallelujah, praise be to God. That's something that's deep from inside of you. That's the kind of relationship we're talking about. And that's between you and God. Amen? It's a soul thing. And then we can have these foundations by having mounts of pillars of strong biblical principles in your lives, fleeing away from sinful things, meditating on God's words, systematic giving and sharing the good news. These are all the things we've been talking about this year. These are things that deepening our strong faith, our relationship with God. You begin a foundation, a solid foundation in Jesus Christ. And I have been built on strong commitment. These commitments are important. Commitments between you and God. The sacrificial commitments that you might have with God. These are important in these times. We don't want to give God our leftovers. Make God a priority in our lives. Building upon that relationship, make it a priority. And like I said to somebody a couple of weeks ago, stop using God as a SOS God. Only when you're in crisis, you call upon him and spending time. Let this be a daily thing for you. Amen? Having a strong dependency on God sets you on a firm foundation in Jesus Christ. These are just a couple of things we can build for a strong foundation. In Psalms 31, 24, we hear these words, be strong and courageous, all who have put their hope in the Lord. In 1 Corinthians 15 to 58, so my dear brothers and sisters, be strong and immovable. Hear this morning. Those who lay their foundation properly in Christ are built for greater resiliency. When the wind blows, they bend, and we bend, because we are all human beings and nobody can stand that all the time. But if our foundation are proper in Jesus Christ, we can be resilient. We can bend back and become to our original position. Life is going to be challenging, yes, and it will come about us. But if we push, it might push us a little here and there, as I said, but if we stand in the rock of Jesus Christ himself, we can come back by the grace of God. Because the rain will come down. The streams will rose. And the winds blow and he beat against the house. But you can be strong in Jesus Christ. Stand firm, my friends. Stand firm in the power of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because when he's weak, we are strong. Amen. You know, the word says, it says that, remember the story of Elijah when he called out to God, take my life, when things just get too rough for him, take my life, I don't want to do this anymore. It's not worth being in this world. And God said, no, Elijah, I'm going to make you resilient. You pray for somebody for healing and today you go through the same sickness. But it's not the end, my friends. God said, I am equipping you for another season. I am building your resiliency within you so that you'll be able to withstand. Rain will come. Flood is coming and rising in our lives. Yes, but we are not going to collapse. We're going to stand firm with the Lord. For the reason is that we are being developed by that resiliency in us by the grace of God. And we can overcome it because God has overcome it. And because we know the enemy wants to keep us there. And God is saying, no, not today. Not today. And this is why in Matthew 12:20, we hear words that is gently speaking to us. A braised reed will not break, and the smoking flax will not quench. Yesterday, we might be weak, and we might feel down and low right now. But when the situation there is no hope, and we might be feeling that way. But when you turn every side, you will see you are not working. Nothing is working in your favor, you might be saying. The enemy is trying to throw things at you that you cannot bear right now. But God is telling you, I'm making you stronger. I'm making you more resilient. I'm giving you the stamina and the courage that you will be able to handle the situation in the strength that I give you. That's the God we serve. You know, when I was, when was it, Friday, this past Friday, I was dropping Phyllis home again. And she was just looking through the window. I could tell how tired and drained she is. And she said, you know, during the storm, I was cursing the water under my feet. And at the same time, I'm blessing the clear water coming up my faucet. That's the struggle we're living there. And that's what resiliency sounds like. And that's what resiliency looks like. She's smiling with our garbage next behind her, our house behind her. We can stand. And we can sing. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, amen. And we can sing, I am trading in my sorrows. I'm trading in my shame. I'm laying in the joy of our Lord. That's what we do as resilient people. So let's just do that. Sing this triumphantly that we have overcome the worst because our God is with us. The Lord that we know, our rock and our foundation is our Jesus Christ. And he make us strong by his grace. So we can do just sing, yes, Lord, and say amen.